Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking into self-defense. Specifically, options where keeping a low profile is, well, kind of the whole point. You're here to get up to speed fast, and yeah, we're going to try and cut through the noise, get right to what matters.
Exactly. We're diving into this idea based on the title, Self-Defense Options for Discreet Protection. That title itself, it really points us somewhere specific.
Okay, yeah.
Safety that isn't obvious. You know.
Right. Discreet protection. So what picture does that paint? Like, who needs this or what kind of situation calls for it?
Well, I think it suggests scenarios where drawing attention to how you're protecting yourself might actually be, well, counterproductive.
Ah, okay.
Think about someone who wants to feel safer, maybe commuting or just out and about, but without alarming everyone around them.
Yeah, or maybe in places where, you know, obvious tools just aren't allowed or would cause a fuss.
Precisely. Restrictions. Or just avoiding unnecessary concern.
So, okay, even without digging into specific items mentioned in any source, what kind of broad categories might fit this description? What are we picturing?
Well, instead of something that looks like a weapon,
right?
We might consider everyday objects that, you know, could serve a purpose defensively if needed.
Uh-huh, like repurposed items.
Could be. Or perhaps tools specifically designed to look like something else entirely, to blend in.
Okay.
The main goal is functionality, but only when you actually need it, without attracting attention beforehand.
So it's less about showing you're prepared and more about just being prepared, quietly.
Exactly. Accessible, but not attention-grabbing.
Now, why would someone choose this route? I mean, over more, let's say, traditional or obvious methods, is it about the person, the place?
It could be both, really.
Yeah.
Someone navigating, say, a crowded subway might prefer something discreet.
To avoid panic.
Yeah, avoid causing panic or unintentionally escalating a tense situation just by having something visible.
Makes sense.
Whereas, you know, someone maybe in a more isolated setting, their priorities might be totally different.
Yeah.
It really hinges on the individual's context.
Okay.
What feels appropriate and crucially effective for them in their likely scenarios.
This is where I think it gets really interesting for you listening. Whether you travel a lot or you're just thinking about safety day to day, this idea of discreteness adds a whole other layer, doesn't it? It's not just, do I have something, but is it the right kind of something for this situation?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And what's fascinating, I think, is how it shifts the focus a bit. It's not solely about the physical tool or force.
No. How so?
It brings in awareness, maybe avoiding confrontation in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
A discreet option can be part of a bigger picture.
Like de-escalation.
Yeah, de-escalation, staying inconspicuous, managing your safety quietly. It's a broader strategy.
Okay, so if we kind of boil it all down from this, look at self-defense options for discreet protection. The big takeaway seems to be the importance of considering subtlety.
Subtlety in context.
Yeah. When you're thinking about personal safety, it's about options that do the job, but don't necessarily announce themselves.
Right. Which leaves a pretty interesting question for you to mull over, doesn't it?
Go on.
In your own life, the places you go, the things you do, what does discreet protection actually mean to you? What unseen factors might shape how you think about this and, you know, the choices you might consider?
Mm. Yeah, that's definitely something to think about. It's nuanced.
Very nuanced.